So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's always a good time to bake, I think, especially during the holiday season. And it's always a good time to have Paul Novak stop by. He's a baking instructor for continuing education at Madison College. Talk with him about breads today, traditionally baked breads around Easter. He's going to answer your bread baking questions as well. And I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've got a great experience to share or a question to ask about baking bread. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Paul Novak, welcome back. Oh, great to have you with us today.
Well, glad to be here, Larry.
We had a little trouble or a little issue with the headphone, but we've got that. I think we got that straightened out. And he is in the process of cutting up a piece of bread, and he's also having some trouble with his headphone. So let me see if I can figure out why you're having that problem with your headphone set. I wonder if there's maybe try the one right next to it. Yeah, let's see how that goes.
That one didn't.
You can join in. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And sooner or later, I'm going to figure out why that's not working. But I haven't figured it out yet. So we'll talk for a little bit while I'm thinking, Paul. What looks and smells so amazing that you brought with you today?
Well, I'm usually here doing a Christmas bread.
Yeah.
So we're here for Easter. Easter breads, Christmas breads, not that different. This is a Finnish Easter bread from Bernard Clayton's Complete Book of Breads. And it's related to ulekaka. It's got cardamom. One thing about Easter breads is that they're typically done to celebrate spring. I mean, in a sense, these would have once been pagan things. The calves being born. Therefore, there's a lot of milk, cream, butter. So it's even richer than a Christmas bread. So this has, I made two loaves, two sticks of butter, five egg yolks, a cup and a half of cream. So this is a rich bread. But it's finished, so there's also rye flour. So that's what makes it very interesting.
Well, I can't wait. It looks like a flower pot.
And I cooked it. I baked it in a flower pot, an unglazed stoneware, red pot, which is dedicated for that. So you don't have to worry. There's no dirt in here. But, I haven't done this for years. And then you cut it in half and then into quarters. And then you cut it horizontally, so you get sort of triangular pieces. That's what you would do with butter and cheese or cheese.
Why don't you try your headphones again and see if we got the are they working now?
Yep, no.
Okay, now we've got that problem solved. That's good. Carolyn in La Crosse has a question right off the bat here. So while you're cutting, we'll turn to Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I want to make Irish soda bread, and I'm wondering if we're having a late dinner, if it'd be better to make it the morning before the dinner, or could I make it the day before, which would be much more convenient?
Well, I would make it as close as possible, because Irish soda bread is not a yeast bread. It's a baking powder bread, and it will tend to dry out fairly quickly.
Okay, that was my concern.
So I would make it as close as possible, and it's easy to put together and bake it, so it doesn't take that much time to make.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. And Nick in Kenosha up next. Hi, Nick. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going? I had a question about how to make a sourdough bread starter. I'm currently making one, and I'm having some issues with it.
Okay, how to make a sourdough bread starter.
What are you doing?
I followed a Michael Pollan's cooked recipe, and it's using 100 grams of water, warm water, and then 100 grams of equal parts white flour and whole wheat flour.
And then you're hoping to capture wild yeast and bacteria out of the air.
Right.
Okay, sometimes people have you use water that comes from, for example, apple skin off of grapes, because often those wild yeast and bacteria are on fruit. So that's
okay.
That's something that some people do. Just realize that to capture those proper wild yeast and bacteria is a little bit iffy. So if at the end of the time you have blue, green, or yellow, you've captured something else.
Okay.
So to me, the easiest way is to find somebody with sourdough and have them give you some.
And if I was making the starter, how long would you guess it would take for the cultures to really start establishing themselves?
They're going to take days. And
okay.
And you have less wild yeast and bacteria in the air in the winter. On the other hand, in August, it's going to be too much stuff in the air, too humid. So I'd say pretty soon, you know, any time now is probably the best time. Not so cold, but not so hot and humid.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Brianne, who is our on-air producer, was given a sourdough starter, but she forgot to feed it 1 week. She's back on schedule now. A week without it, without feeding it.
No big deal.
Shouldn't be a big deal.
No. I mean, you can go. I do mine every 2 weeks because in between I'm doing a sour rye culture. And you can go 3 weeks. You can go more. It'll get a gray liquid on top of it, which you can pour off or incorporate. But if you go too long, either the yeast will start to cannibalize each other,
mm-hmm.
or you'll get too much alcohol, because yeast produces alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It's trivial in bread. But if it produces enough, it actually can kill the culture also. So there's a couple reasons you can't go too long.
I can tell you one way to kill it. That is to go on vacation.
Your story about, yes.
and have your refrigerator die while you're away. That definitely kills sourdough starter. Randy in Sauk County, it's your turn. Speaking of sourdough.
My grandmother was just, I grew up watching her do stuff like this, Dutch lady. Anyway, what she always said, if you're going to do these sour breads, you need to use a very good well water and not any kind of city water, because it's got something in it that's not good for the yeast. And this I know, she would always be smug because her sourdough stuff was like candy. It was it would bring you hop from the dead. It was fabulous stuff. So I think she had something with that well water. We always had a really good well. She was particular which well she even took the water out of, you know.
Well, I'm not going to argue about the good taste of well water or artesian wells, et cetera. Some people think you should have the purest water possible. To me, it's totally wrong, because this is a wild yeast and bacteria. They need minerals. So I do get away with Madison tap water,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have my softener died years ago. I never bothered to fix it. So I have minerals in there. It's a fairly hard water. You could argue that the fluoride and those agents can be problematic. But the other thing is that it's going to sit for quite a long time. And if you've got a vigorous starter, you can get away with tap water. But I would argue if you have a faucet in your kitchen that's not softened, use that.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, now I've sampled this Easter, would you call it Easter bread?
Yeah, it is a Finnish Easter bread. That's the title.
It is delicious. And how difficult is it to make?
Oh, it's basically, even though it has some rye flour, it's basically a white bread. It's It's got so much oil and the egg yolks and the sugar that it's easy to knead. The problem is it's a little harder to bake. Like this got, this didn't quite bake all the way through to the center, but the outside got almost too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have actually done this at a lower temperature and done it for a longer time. It was only 350, but I would go even 325 on this one if I was going to make it again.
Wow, so. it's really delicious.
Well, you can't go wrong with these ingredients.
What are some, beyond Easter bread, what are some other breads that are popular during this time of the year?
Well, everybody thinks about hot cross buns, but each culture has their own festive bread. So one nice thing, if you want to look at Bernard Clayton's Complete Book of Breads, there's a whole chapter of festive breads from all sorts of different countries. So challah is a bread often done at this time, for, you know, a different holiday. So if we just say festive breads, we can encompass, you know, many, many different holidays.
There are, I know most of my friends have never baked bread, and or many of them, I should say most, but what's a good bread, a go-to bread, or, you know, just for a beginner?
When I do the one of the classes I do at MATC, even for a healthy bread, well, I typically have people do an oatmeal bread.
Oh.
Because you can cook the oatmeal, and it gives it then a sort of a structure,
yeah,
some stickiness. And that helps it to stay together. It's got a good taste. So I always send people to oatmeal breads for, you know, to start.
Oh, man. Well, we've got some other questions coming up for you, Paul. I know Grant wants to know something about baking chocolate sourdough, and we'll get to that, but we need to take a quick look at the news. Number to call if you have a question. We have open lines. We can get you on pretty quickly. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call, 800-642-1234. You can email us like Grant did. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page. So great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, having a wonderful time eating some Easter bread right now with my guest Paul Novak, who baked it. He's a baking instructor for continuing education at Madison Area College. It's always great to have him come by, and he always brings a fresh loaf of bread, typically like today, still warm, and some great butter as well. So, and I think Breanne Schusso, our on-air producer, came in, grabbed some photos, and she'll be posting those up on our Facebook page so you get a look at that bread that he actually baked in a flower pot, kind of a large flower pot. And so it's got that sort of flower pot, obviously, the flower pot shape.
Yeah, and of course, if I didn't size it right, it would have mushroomed up, and then we'd have had too much on the top that would get too dark.
Grant emailed and wondered about your experiences baking chocolate sourdough. Have you ever done that?
I'd love to eat chocolate croissants, but I've never, which is yeast also, but no, I've never put chocolate into bread. So it would matter what kind of chocolate you have, you know, how it melts.
Yeah.
And what's your baking temperature. I mean, I'm just hypothesizing
right here.
That like a lot of things, this would be a trial and error. I mean, not that there aren't books you could go to, so you start at a good place, but then depending your oven and your chocolate and how deep it is into the dough, it's going to melt differently. Yeah.
Aaron in Blue Mounds has something for us. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I was calling. I'm thinking about making a gluten-free bread for Easter, and I was looking for some ideas, thoughts.
The one place I can send you is there's a I don't know who exactly the name of it, but there's a place in Wisconsin that sells sorghum flour, which is a gluten-free flour. Very good tasting. It's wonderful in pancakes. Willie Street Co-op, other places have it. They used to have a recipe in there for a gluten-free bread, but it was a yeast bread. That's very unusual to have a gluten-free yeast bread. So that's one place I would send you, and therefore you might be able to get a little more other ingredients in. Now, of course, some people would be vegan, and they're not going to want to use eggs, but eggs would be part of many Easter breads.
For sure.
It's just a fascinating recipe, finding that that sorghum flour and trying a yeast gluten-free bread.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. I have open lines. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Email at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Joanne and Shell Lake called. She couldn't stay with us, so she had left a question. She makes a honey wheat bread that calls for liquid lecithin. She keeps it in her fridge between uses, but it's so thick when she takes it out to use. Is she doing something wrong?
I've never used the liquid, but you can easily get sort of granular lecithin. And it's I put in like a tablespoon into a batch of bread just to up the nutrition. And I keep that in the refrigerator. And it does clump over time, so I'm sure the liquid is also going to get thicker. I think it's just, you know, that's just what it's a soy product. That's just what it does. You don't need a lot of it. It's an emulsifier.
Yeah. So it might be just the simplest is to get the powdered form.
Yeah. And again, Willie Street Co-op sells that and other places would. It's very easy to get, and it's a nice additive.
Why do you think breads are such an important part of holiday traditions?
Well, the smell would obviously be one thing, yes. We don't have smell vision yet. Or the radio.
I wish we did.
Yeah, yeah. And it's if you get it warm, and it's just it can fill you up, and you can make it sweet. You can make it thin. I mean, in a sense, crackers are a baked flatbread. So there's so many different forms of it. And we have companion comes, the root of that is pane is bread. We talk about breaking bread. There are all these references to bread as part of a social, you know, a toast.
Yeah.
Is related to bread.
Well, you know, some of your best memories, when you think about it, some of your very best memories relate to bread.
And if you're lucky enough to have had people in your family who've baked bread, my mother didn't, but she baked pies. So, I mean, I will try forever and probably never make a pie as good as she did, but that's maybe my memory.
Well, I've mentioned my grandmother, Grandma Miller, who made a whole wheat bread that was just unbelievable. We've tried to reprise that recipe, and I can't do it.
And I will warn people, when you look at, if you are lucky enough to have a heritage recipe, because some of this was just in the head of the person, you know, a bit of this and a bit of that, and it was all by feel. But if you find the heritage recipes, often they'll call for cake yeast. And some people think that is part of why they had a different taste. And you still can get it. It's trickier to use. But if it says you use a penny's worth,
it'd be a buck's worth today or thereabouts.
so you really just convert that to a certain proportion that's equivalent to a tablespoon of dry yeast, et cetera, and you go from there.
Jeff in Dorchester, Iowa called, couldn't stick around. But he says he uses a half a cup of flour and potato water for his sourdough starter. So half a cup of flour and potato water. He says it works like a charm.
And potato water got a lot of starch in it. So if you're ever making, for example, potato bread, or you're just making mashed potatoes, then save that water and use that in your bread.
Could you freeze that water? Or would you not?
It'll keep in the refrigerator for a number of days, though, too. So it's just starch
right away.
Yeah, but in a sense, you want to use all kinds of things in your bread. You don't, why waste potato water? And potato bread itself is just
really good.
Really good, especially if it's sourdough potato bread. It's, yeah.
Helen in Little Chute has something for us. Hi, Helen. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I would be a new beginning bread maker, and my friends over the years have tried using a bread machine. And I wondered if you would comment on that. You know, what does he think of a bread machine?
Now, Larry and I have been doing this for over 25 years. So there were a whole number of years there where all our questions were about bread machines. And then mm-hmm. that sort of faded away.
Yeah.
The machines have gotten better. That's one thing. A lot of them say they can do whole grains.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a marvelous thing to do as a way to get interested in bread. And what mm-hmm. some people do is they use the machine up to the baking time, take it out and bake it in their own oven. In other words, they use it for the rising and the kneading.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there are many different ways to approach it. And supposedly some can handle sourdough. I don't understand that, but that's what they say.
Would there be a name of a brand that you might recommend?
A place I always send people is to the King Arthur Flour Company. They have a catalog. They have a website. They know they sell the machines. They probably sell several of them. So they're going to have, that'd be one place to start.
Sounds good. I had a second quick question.
Okay.
The Finnish Easter bread sounded yummy. My grandmother was Finnish, but she used to make rieska, which is a Finnish, like a round flat bread. It would be about 2 inches thick.
Yes.
And I believe there was buttermilk in the rieska. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Yeah. There's a marvelous a baker who's written many Scandinavian, but specifically Finnish cookbooks, Beatrice Oyakangas.
Right.
And I can recommend all of her books. And
so I'm newly retired, so I now have more time. Before I was working 12 hours a day, and I had no time.
So there'll be a recipe for that in at least one of her books.
Great. Yes. Well, I'll tell you, you've been very helpful, and I've really been enjoying the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Helen. Appreciate your call, and good luck in retirement.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Can I mention another baking book?
Absolutely.
A show was on public TV a while ago, the Great British Baking Show or the Great British Bake Off. And the baker in there was Paul Hollywood, great name.
Yeah.
He has a couple books, but one of them, British Baking, is really quite marvelous. It's fairly new. Library has it. And it's regional. Things from all over England. And all sorts, rolls, but then pasties and tarts, and very well done. So I'm sure there are quite a few festive breads in that one also.
So it's called British Baking, and the author is Paul Hollywood.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, man. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Deb in Plymouth says in an email that she's eating sourdough biscuits and has sourdough crackers raising. Do you know of a crispy sourdough pizza crust recipe?
That's a new one, huh?
In a sense, I often make my pizza crust as a sourdough. And so one thing you could just do is experiment with any pizza dough recipe and just partly make it thinner and then play with, there's often no oil in it. Would you want more? Would you want less? I'm not sure. I'm not a person who makes crackers and flatbreads. I personally don't like crispy crust in a pizza. So I'm less savvy with that. But really, it's just once you go that thin, it's becoming a flatbread.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be almost all crust. So that's what you got to play with.
Do you do it? Do you partially cook that? If you're making, I've never made a pizza that way with my.
Well, and one way that some people make pizza, and I do this often, is partially, like you do with quiche, partially bake the crust, then put the vegetables and et cetera on, and then finish it.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Because
to me.
I don't have a fire. I don't have a wood.
Yeah,
a wood-fired stone oven where I can get up to 500, 600 degrees. Yes.
Mary in Madison has something. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Yes, my grandmother made stollen, and I think that's Norwegian.
Well, stollen is in a lot of different cultures. So my background's Polish, so I have my mother's stollen recipe. It's German. It's essentially a very, it's a bread, it's yeast, but it's very short, meaning there's a lot of oil in it. So it's dense, often rolled with cinnamon sugar, raisins, or whatnot. But yeah, it to me, that's a festive bread for any time. Well, you don't need to even have a holiday for that one.
Yes, and two other questions. You mentioned rumakaka, and I think that's a pudding.
No, yulekaka really means Christmas bread or Christmas cake bread.
Yulekaka.
So that would be Norwegian. That would be Swedish. You know, the Christmas bread of the time. What I made today, the Easter bread, they're very similar. I looked at the recipes. This is just even richer, better.
This is really deadlier. Good. Really good. Really good.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mary, for calling in. And then mentioning stolen just reminded me back to my youth, grade school time. My best friend's mother made stolens. And there was really, that's another one of those memories that
you. Oh, yes, yes.
You just never forget. You never forget it. Steve in Oxford, it's your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just wonder if somewhere he could post an easy recipe for yeast white. I'm trying to make really nice, like 5.5-inch sandwich buns or hamburger type, Kaiser, whatever you want to call them, buns that are real tasty.
And are you planning to use them for hamburgers or?
Yeah, well, sometimes for lunch meat with cheese sandwiches also.
Okay.
To me, almost any white bread recipe is going to work for that. For example, I just used my sourdough bread recipe and turn them into rolls. What really happens, though, is it's a much smaller volume, so it doesn't take that long to bake. So 50 minutes, 55 minutes, that 5 minutes is no big deal. But if you go from 15 to 20 or from 20 to 25, this changes the crust. So this is really the big deal. What kind of crust do you want? Do you want the really almost non-existent crust, or do you want a crust almost as thick as the bread? So in other words, I'm saying I think it's basically technique, perhaps oven temperature, that'll give you the crust and the texture for your rolls.
Well, do you have somewhere you could post an easy recipe?
You could put one up on our Facebook page if you've got one in hand. Or we can dig one up, too.
Yeah, it should be pretty easy to find a hot dog or hamburger bun recipe. It'd be just basically a, you know, white bread. I mean,
so you're looking at flour,
but I'd put in some bran, I'd put in other things, so make, you know, I like to put egg in, make it a little healthier, give it some color.
All right, there we go. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. One of the, our callers said that we can make any bread, chocolate bread, by mixing equal parts of baking cocoa and sugar.
I was thinking more of actually chunks of
that's
chocolate,
what I was thinking
like,
too,
like chocolate
chips.
Croissant. Yes, if it's a standard way to make a bread darker is to put in cocoa, so it can be an ingredient in certain rye breads if they're trying to make the fabled black bread, but half the time black bread was other stuff was in there. It was just very poor people and their poor flour, and that's why it turned out to be black. So for example, taking breadcrumbs and burning them and putting that in your bread to make the bread darker, I never understood. So cocoa is a much better way to go.
Betta in Middleton up next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, I'm happy to be hearing this show today. I started working with a Levain about a year and a half ago and managed to lose it. And I'm thinking about starting again. I really did love what I had, but I'm not really certain that it's any different than what you're talking about. So that's my first question. And then the second one is the recipe I followed for creating the Levain required several additions of an awful lot of flour. So I was throwing out, you know, two-thirds of what I was doing every day, and it seems really wasteful. So two questions, I'm sorry.
I agree. I've seen recipes like that for developing a sourdough that mean you get it a little stronger, you throw half of it. I mean, I don't get it. Okay. So you don't have to do that. But it is true, to get your starter stronger does take a bit of time. But what you don't use, you can, of course, you know, if you want to follow that recipe, what you're throwing away, just put it into a bread. And Levain is really just a term for a kind of sourdough. If we think of sourdough as the basic term, then you have these, you know, an umbrella. You've got the Levain, you've got a Bigos, you've got different cultures have different names, but they also usually differ in consistency. Some are very thin, some are very thick. So, to be honest, I'm not sure how you would really tell one from another, but if you went to France, they're going to use this term. You go to Italy, they're going to use that term. But they're all basically sourdoughs.
Interesting. Yeah. And do you think it would be reasonable to just cut in half the amount of the ingredients that I'm starting with? As I described, I feel like I'm throwing waste.
Yes.
It won't hurt it at all?
If you, for example, easy way to make a sourdough is you buy Gold Rush, a powder, and you reconstitute it, but it'll take a number of generations for it to get strong. Uh-huh. But I wouldn't be throwing away, you know, what I, in a sense, you know, when I double it, I would not be throwing away, you know, that part of it.
Yeah.
So after a while, there's no throwing it away. You've got it strong enough. So.
Yeah, that's true. And then I'm just feeding it.
Yes, and then you're just feeding it.
So I can just make a smaller batch. No problem.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling. Wondering about, someone asked about ovens. You know, if you're buying a new oven, do you have a favorite oven for baking bread?
Well, the old-fashioned ovens had pilot lights, and that was not efficient. But the new one I have now, if with electronic ignition, in a power failure, you can't use it. So, I had an old Roper, and I wish I still had that. And you can buy very expensive ones. That British show I mentioned, their oven had a proofing box in the bottom of it. And you can get a German oven with steam injection if you want. So, I mean, what's possible nowadays? I've lost, you know, in a sense, I've lost track of all the possibilities now with ovens. Yes.
Well, here we are out of time, and you don't have any classes coming up, do you?
No. I wanted to put in a plug for WORT, sort of this another non-commercial station in Madison. I'm on the board of directors. I do a music show on that, and it's our 40th year, so we're doing a lot of stuff to celebrate and celebrate the history of WORT.
And good for WORT. It's a wonderful station.
Yeah, thanks,
it is. Paul, thank you so much. Look forward to your next visit. Paul Novak, baking instructor extraordinaire, teaches many courses out of Madison Area College, or Madison College, I guess I should say now. And he'll be back, and we'll talk with him again about breads, be they holiday or otherwise.